Yes! Welcome, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to my podcast. This is Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com. Welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution. Today on our show, we're going to be talking about how the heck is going vegan and getting a dream body going to save our planet, which is what I claim every time I say my little slogan about veganbodyrevolution.com. How the heck is that going to happen? I'm also going to talk about why you should not go vegan. That's right. I'm going to list some reasons why you should not go vegan. And finally, I'm going to share with you some of my greatest tips that I learned from my buddy Chris Powell. For those of you who don't know who he is, Chris Powell is the trainer of America. He is a transformation expert. He is the trainer featured on the show Extreme Makeover Weight Loss Edition, and he is a New York Times bestseller with his book Choose to Lose. Everybody should go out and get that book. He's an amazing, beautiful person, and I am just so fortunate and proud and honored to say he is actually one of my dear friends. So let's get started, shall we? Let's talk about how the heck is the vegan body revolution supposed to get this planet in a better place and save it while giving you the body of your dreams. Well, let me tell you why. Here's the deal. Going vegan has so many benefits that this planet needs now more than ever before. For those of you who really care about this environment, those of you who might be eating meat right now or haven't quite made the transition to going vegan, but you've made some steps towards helping our planet. Maybe you purchased a hybrid car. Maybe you're not using as much gas or water or electricity as you used to. Maybe you're recycling. That's awesome. Please keep doing that. But what I'm about to tell you here is I'm going to share with you a few facts that's going to show you how switching your food choices is going to have a far, far greater impact on this planet and our environment than any amount of driving in a hybrid car or recycling will ever do. Let's talk about the environment. As you know, farm animals produce waste. Okay, these things are just pooping and peeing all day long. If you've ever driven by a cattle farm, it is one of the most worst, nauseating driving experiences you have ever had. At least if you're like me and you're not into smelling poop or smelling like poop, it's just absolutely disgusting. I can smell a freaking cow farm from 10 miles away when I'm driving up there. I notice it every time I go from Orange County up to San Francisco. It just starts smelling like vaporized death. It's so bad. It's so bad. The first thing I usually do is turn to my wife and say, "Did you? Oh, no, that's right. It's the cows." No, that's just me. I know the difference. So the first thing I want to tell you is, here are the statistics. I mean, this is the truth. This is, by the way, you can look up anything that I talk to you about right now. You can go to ellentv.com and check out Ellen DeGeneres' vegan site. And she's got a little page there that says, "Why Go Vegan?" It's awesome. It's got these facts that I'm going to be talking to you about right now, all in one nice, concise page. But let's talk about the extent of the pollution that's created from these animals. These animals produce so much pollution that the amount of poop waste that they create is more waste than the entire city of Los Angeles. Now, I'm talking about a large farm. One large farm can produce more waste than the entire city of Los Angeles. Now, the Environmental Protection Agency considers manure, okay, that's cow poop for those of you who are not in this industry. That's cow poop. It considers manure at one of the top 10 pollutants, and U.S. farms create 2 billion tons of it each year. Now, just so you know, 2 billion tons is a lot of you-know-what. It's disgusting. We don't need this. This is polluting us, and guess what? We're breathing this stuff in. It's getting into our water supplies. It's going out into the oceans. It's killing off our life down the rivers and the creeks and the streams. It's infecting our freaking water supply. It's disgusting. It's creating disease. You don't want to be swimming in huge piles of animal doo-doo. It's not good. It's not good. And the sad part is it's getting worse. We've got to put a stop to this. And one of the most effective ways to do that is stop purchasing animal products. Stop it. And you can stop the demand. If we can just stop the demand for meat and dairy, we can stop the pollution and the waste that it causes. Hopefully that makes sense. Dairy cows are the same way. Next is, we can help reduce famine. That's right. Did you know that 70%, 70, that's right, 70%, that means more than two-thirds of all the grain that's produced in the United States is used to feed the animals that are raised to slaughter. That's right. In order to get just 1 pound of meat from an animal, it takes 15 frickin' pounds of grain. 15 pounds! See, if this same grain were given directly to people, now understand, there is a shortage of food in the world. There are starving people on this planet. You see them on daytime TV ads all the time. Donate here, donate here. No, you know what? Stop eating freaking meat and use this grain to give to the rest of the people. Now, I say this half in jest, but also half seriously, because here's the deal. If this same grain, the 15 pounds of grain for every pound of meat that's produced, and hundreds of pounds, thousands of pounds produced on a daily basis per animal, if this grain were given directly to people, there would be enough food to feed everybody. And because there's people dying of hunger, that just breaks my heart, and it just helps me understand how unnecessary this all is. Also, you know the land that the animals have to be raised on and graze on? If that land could be utilized to create food for humans instead of for the animals, to create food for the animals that we're going to kill anyway, if we could just use that land to grow plants for food for humans, we would virtually solve all of our hunger issues, 100%. 100%. Now, check this out. Let me tell you about how much water we can save. I mean, I hope you know that water is our last most abundant resource, but it is very quickly dying on us. I mean, we are running out of clean water very, very, very fast. Now, we've got drought-like conditions all across the world. I mean, everywhere, all over the world. There are places where there is very, very, very little clean water, and we need to be able to get this out to people. But here's the problem. Because of such a large demand for meat, it takes 2,500 gallons of water, get this, just to produce 1 pound of meat. It takes 2,500 gallons of water to produce 1 measly pound of meat. You realize the impact when someone, and I'm not saying this is you, because I don't know if you're a vegan or if you're a meat eater, but I can definitely say for myself, the impact that I had when I used to order a giant steak. I loved steak when I was not vegan. This is before I knew any of this stuff. I'd go out and I'd order a big old 16-ounce steak. I had no idea. I just also killed 2,500 gallons of water to eat that steak, just because I wanted to stuff myself and I love the taste of it. I had no idea. 2,500 gallons of clean water. Do you have any idea what we could be doing right now, how much water we could be saving, and how much closer we'd be at being able to reverse the destruction of this planet and killing our clean water supply? Now, think of it this way. Okay, so that's 2,500 gallons of water to produce a pound of meat. What if we were to switch that to a pound of grain? How much water does that take? You know how much it takes to produce 1 pound of grain? Just 25 gallons. 25! That's 100 times more to produce a pound of meat versus just a pound of grain. You tell me what's more environmentally sound and sustainable. Next, now, if you're a, you know, vegan or not, these are, hopefully those are some very compelling reasons that will hopefully make you think about switching to a vegan lifestyle, at least for the sake of the planet. From another standpoint, for those of you who are more like me, I'm definitely on the spiritual side. I've come around to being much more spiritual than ever before, and it happened about 3 to 4 days after going vegan. I can't explain it, but I wasn't really that spiritual before, and then I went vegan, and then something changed within inside of me, and I realized for the first time in my life that there was a significant place that I had on this planet in terms of what my actions and what I'm responsible for. That the idea that when I consumed a piece of meat, if I ate a piece of meat, I wasn't eating something, I was eating someone. And that the money that I was investing in buying that meat was going towards helping murder and went towards the suffering of some other poor, innocent someone that was going to be slaughtered and served on somebody else's plate. I couldn't take that anymore. I couldn't. And so another reason is the suffering of these animals that are being raised for meat is just, it's absolutely atrocious. Not just because of the way they're treated. I mean, even from the most simple form. Flip this around. How would you like to know that you were raised your entire life just to be eaten? Now, some people say, well, I'd be just fine. I love my wife the way it is. As long as I had a good life, I'd be happy. Well, here's the problem. These animals are not given a nice life. These animals, most of them, I'm going to say most of them, like more than 90% of them, are treated in the most cruel fashion you could ever imagine. I mean, we're talking some of the worst, most heinous stuff I've ever heard of in my entire life. Now, let me just give you a few examples. And I don't want you to lose your lunch over this, and I don't want to make it into a huge debate, but please, please take this message with as much love and good intentions as humanly possible. It's just very important that you not be ignorant. If you don't know this stuff, it's free to learn this stuff. And you're entitled to your own opinion after you hear what I'm about to tell you right now. I totally respect that. But please hear it. Take this in. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, please do the research and look it up yourself, okay? With animals like cows, first of all, cows are, if you've ever gone to a cattle farm or seen or driven by it, you know that those cows are just, they're packed in so close, and they're literally living in their own feces 24 hours a day. And these cows, you look at them, they're half, most of them are half dead. They're so diseased. If you look at them, you just look at the growths on their faces. They've got cuts. They've got injuries. Some of them are just barely able to walk for a lot of different reasons. But these cows have to live this way for their entire lives. Many of them are just horribly abused and beaten. They're not the nice free-range cows that you see when you're driving on a certain highway and you'll see a cow grazing. Like that is not what most of the meat that you eat, that is not how those animals are treated. These animals are treated so poorly when it's time to slaughter them. They are just gone through. They are just put through the worst paces humanly imaginable. If you want to see what that looks like, check out a documentary called Meet Your Meat, M-E-E-T, Your M-E-A-T, Meet Your Meat, and be prepared to let your stomach turn over several times when you're watching this, because it's the most disgusting, awful, atrocious stuff I've ever seen in my life.
Chickens provide eggs,
they stuff so many chickens inside of a cage that they can barely move. They can't spread their wings. They're stepping on each other. They're pooping on each other. They're peeing on each other. A lot of chickens suffocate to death under some of the pressure from just other chickens standing on top of them. Many of them have these awful diseases. They have to cut the beaks off of these chickens, which there are nerves that go through those beaks, so they suffer an awful lot of pain just by being these chickens that never wanted to have anything to do with this whole system, but now they're forced to live in a cage and live out the rest of their lives until they're no longer useful, and then they're going to be just murdered, just like all the other animals that are out there. And then when the eggs that happen to hatch, well, here's what they do: if they're female chicks, then they'll raise them and use them to produce more eggs. If they're males, what they'll often do is they'll literally just divert the male chicks, these little baby cute little chicks, they'll divert them right into another conveyor belt that leads them right into a freaking grinder, and they'll just grind them up right there, alive, still tweeting, not knowing what the heck is going on. Hello, world. Hello, how are you? I'm just this cute little chick. I just hatched myself out of the egg, and I'm just tweet, 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 tweet. Oh, my God! Into the grinder you go. Some egg farms just throw them all into a bag and literally put them in the garbage. They'll just tie up the bag and put it in the garbage so that the garbage man can take it. Isn't that absolutely atrocious? I don't know. If you're not freaked out by this, then all I gotta say is watch some more documentaries so you can see this firsthand so that you're not just getting it through my mouth. But anyway, the meat industry is absolutely cruel. The dairy industry is just as cruel. Dairy cows have to sit in this tiny little pen where they can't turn around. They've got these little suction thingies hooked to their nipples and their udders, and they're just being tugged on all day long to produce milk. And they're being fed hormones, so they basically stay pregnant forever. And sometimes these pregnant cows produce little baby calves. And what happens is just absolutely horrible, because what happens when a calf is born? The first thing the mommy wants to do, and this is with every single animal out there, every mammal out there, all the mommy wants to do is just take care of her little precious calf. But you know what happens? As soon as that calf comes out, they grab it by the legs and they just yank it away from mommy. Mommy will scream for days calling for her calf. And what are they going to do? Well, there's a couple of things. They might take the calf and stick it inside of a little box, where it will turn into a veal calf, where after several weeks they will kill it for meat. Or they'll just murder the calf right there in front of the mom. Right there. Just boom. Sometimes they put a they'll do a nail gun straight to the skull. Sometimes they've got these little things where that uses compressed air, and basically it just rams a metal rod right through the skull into the brain, killing it. Or sometimes they just full on take a gun, boom, right to the head. Or if they don't want to waste a bullet, they might use a knife and just slit its throat right there in front of mommy. Yeah, really humane. Living a cruelty-free lifestyle is going vegan. It's one of the greatest things you can do from a karmic standpoint, if you believe in that, spiritual standpoint, if you believe in that, and from an environmental standpoint. And you don't have to believe in that. That's actually the truth. These are from real facts that are happening right now, based on real research that's going on this planet. From an environmental standpoint, it's one of the best things you can do for the planet. I think it was Mahatma. No, it was a. Oh yeah, it was Gandhi. Gandhi that said that you can judge a nation based on how that nation treats its animals. Something like that. Close enough, right? It really couldn't be more true. So please, 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 please. For so many different reasons, I beg you to give veganism a shot. And if you're making strides to go more and more vegan, I thank you, I applaud you, and I honor you with all of my heart. I honor you, honor you, honor you. Thank you. And my hope for you is that you go completely vegan so that we can help end this needless suffering. And when I say needless, that is what the vegan body revolution is about. Because here's the deal. Let's talk about why you should not go vegan. Let me rephrase that. Let's talk about why many people believe you should not go vegan. And the first reason is there's a fear that you can't get enough protein as a vegan, and that if you don't get enough protein, you're going to shrivel down into a tiny little wimp, and you're never going to be able to build muscle. You'll never look hot. You'll just have to look scrawny and skinny and useless. Well, that's what I'm here to tell you, that that is completely untrue. Vegans totally can get all the protein that you need for sustaining basic life and also to build massive amounts of muscle. I built 7.25 pounds of muscle in 28 days. I don't know very many meat eaters that's even accomplished that on meat. And I challenge you. I challenge you to see if you can get results like me. And if you can, awesome. Now let me see you try to do it with a vegan plant-based lifestyle, because I'm going to be here to help you achieve those same results. If you've been able to do it with meat, I'm going to be here to help you do it with plants, because you can do that. You can have an amazing hot body on a 100% vegan plant-based diet. And I'm going to show you how. I'm also going to have other guests on this show that's going to show you. I can't wait to show you some of the guests that I have coming up. You'll see their pictures. Some of these guys are some of the most amazing fitness models and fitness celebrities in our industry that are 100% vegan, that have some of the most incredible physiques you have ever, ever, ever seen. I can't wait to share. Can't wait for you to hear their secrets on how they're able to maintain their body in such an amazing way using nothing but plants and not a single animal source. Next, another reason why many people say you should not go vegan is because you're going to be nutrient deficient. Oh no, you're going to be undernourished because, well, I don't even know where they get that. Here's the thing. You know, one time when my son was really young, my son's been vegetarian and he's been vegan since 1 year old. And what happened was, by the time he was almost around when he turned one, his pediatrician, our pediatrician, recommended that he go on cow milk. And my wife is a medical doctor, but we have a pediatrician and we follow his advice, even if it seems to contradict our beliefs. So we went ahead and we gave him the cow milk and he went on that. And within just a few short weeks, by the time of his next checkup, he was anemic and his vitamin B was at low levels. He was deficient in iron and vitamin B, and he was anemic. Not good, not good. This happened right after the cow milk. Now, we didn't really make that connection at first. So what the doctor did was he said, okay, no problem. He's going to have to take some vitamin B supplements, and he's going to have to take this other supplement, which is like this iron supplement. And my son hated it, and we hated give it to him. It was like this nasty, nasty liquid stuff. I mean, it's just like liquid metal, and he swallowed it. He put it in his mouth, and he just started crying. It turned his mouth gray. It was just disgusting stuff. I don't recommend anybody utilize that stuff. It's just disgusting. And my wife, she said, screw this. Man, forget it. I'm going to do some research, and I'm going to figure out how to get my son healthy. And you know what she did? She did it. She went and discovered that if you supplement with nutritional yeast, which you can buy at any grocery store, it's just this yellow flaky stuff, sprinkle that on top of his food, that's going to make up for his vitamin B deficiency. Second thing she did was she got him off of cow milk, just took the cow milk out of there, continued breastfeeding him, and let me tell you what happened. By his next checkup, which was just a month later, going off of the cow milk completely, going off of the B and the iron supplements, using just nutritional yeast sprinkled onto every one of his meals, he was able to achieve a vitamin B level that was off the charts. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. This is not a figure of speech. I mean, it was actually off the charts. That means it was higher than the highest range that they indicate, that they test for. And the pediatrician said he's never seen anything like this. Not only that, but his iron levels were back to normal. He was no longer anemic. Is that cool or what? That's right. In fact, the pediatrician, he said in his own words that our son, his health was better than any of his patients. Any other kid that he had, his entire clinic, my son was healthier. Booyah! There you go for veganism, baby. That's right. Stick to being vegan. Educate yourself. If you do run into a nutritional deficiency, which will probably happen when you're trying to go vegan, it's okay. Do some research. Connect with me. I'll do what I can to help you. Connect with my wife. Her website is goodbyelupus.com. She's also known as Dr. G, D-R-G. You can check out her. You can look her up online. She's also known as the Skype Psychiatrist. She's got an amazing health resource page where she shows recipes and teaches you how to create optimal health so that you're never nutrient deficient. And you have everything that your body needs on a 100% plant-based vegan diet. So those are the reasons why most people say you should not go on a vegan diet. Now, besides that, I have no idea what else. I have no idea. I mean, some people might say taste. Well, you know what? Here's a cool thing. You can get over the taste because you'll find stuff in the vegan diet that tastes so good. I don't miss eating meat for 1 second because I have so many options available to me. Which we're going to be talking about different options and going out to eat and things like that on a vegan diet in some upcoming shows, so stay tuned for that. The last thing I want to talk about, we are running out of time, is my buddy Chris Powell. What a beautiful man. He's got a beautiful wife, Heidi, and he's the star of a show called Extreme Makeover Weight Loss Edition. And I got to hang out with him. It's been years since we got to hang out together, but I've known him way back when he was just a personal trainer in Arizona. We met at an awesome trade show for the industry called URSA. He was just the man. He had his little stack system out there. Got that. It was like the coolest thing I ever bought. It was like a meal carrying system. You got to check it out. Stax system, STAX system. If you thought the six pack was cool, this thing blows it away. Anyway, so Chris did this awesome talk at the California Women's Conference, and his message involved three components. And these were the three components to being successful with a body transformation. Now, Chris knows a thing or two about body transformation. This man helps people take hundreds of pounds off their bodies. Me, I'm in the realm of taking tens of pounds off of people's bodies and helping them get nice and buff. This guy, he takes hundreds of pounds off of people's bodies, and he does it through exercise and diet, but most importantly, he does it through his heart, and he does it through understanding the most critical components of the human mind. So the very first thing that you have to have in order to be successful with your transformation is you have to believe that you can do it. Those of us who are joining the vegan body revolution, there's a couple beliefs that we have to have. And please, let's all stand united on this one. Number one, that by going vegan, we can significantly increase the health of this planet and hopefully save it from total destruction. Number two, we must believe that we can create optimum health and ideal health on a vegan plant-based diet. Did I say number three? I think I actually meant number two. Sorry about that. Lastly, number three is the belief that you can have the body of your dreams on a 100% plant-based diet. And that is what I am here to help you do. Next, his second component was understanding the good intentions behind the habits that you have that's keeping you from achieving the body that you want. So he was really, he was talking mostly to people who are overweight and unhappy with their weight. And typically that comes from food addictions and going down the wrong path, not getting enough exercise and getting the habit of not exercising and eating the wrong things, stuff like that. And what his message was, which was so brilliant, I thought, was that you have to not just understand the reasons, but more importantly, the intentions. Because here's what happens when a lot of people, especially ladies, when they go off of their diet or they eat the wrong thing or they don't work out, they beat themselves up emotionally. They do. Are you accused of doing that? I mean, are you guilty of that? Are you guilty of beating yourself up if you don't work out one day or if you eat the wrong food sometimes? Listen, that beating of yourself, right? The punishment that you give yourself, if you do that, that does far more damage than anything else that you could possibly do, because it just compounds the problem. Because here's the thing, right? If you make a promise to yourself that you're going to work out tomorrow, starting tomorrow, and you're going to eat perfectly after that, and if you don't uphold that promise, you've done something very detrimental to yourself. Here's the thing. When you get in the habit of breaking promises, that's your method of operation. That is your MO. You've got to get yourself out of that. So the way you start is you create promises that you can definitely uphold. So one of his suggestions is this. You might not be at the level where you can go from going straight off the couch and eating junk food to eating perfectly 5 to 6 times a day and working out 6 to 7 times a week. That might be too much all at once. So instead, why don't you try something that you can commit to 100%, which is maybe like, let's just eliminate all the soda out of your fridge. That's a perfect first step, and you can commit to that. And then when you do commit to that and succeed at it, you're going to feel great. And then you just move on to the next task. You get it? That's the second part of his message. And then the last part, number three, is support. Because listen, your environment will destroy willpower every single time. Every single time. You might win a few battles out of your wills, but if you don't change your environment, and I'm going to tell you what that means in a second, if you don't change your environment, that environment will eventually overcome your willpower. So what I mean by environment, I'm talking about the support system that you have. The support system, that's right. Find like-minded individuals that have the same goals as you, or find people that have already achieved the goals that you have. And that's what veganbodyrevolution.com is all about. We are a community all here for the same reason. We want to help you achieve your dream body, and we want to do it 100% vegan style, baby. I want to give you the body that you want. I want to help you look the best you've ever looked in your entire life, and I want to help you do it in a way that is also going to help heal this planet. I hope you're with me on that, because I'm here to support you 100%. So join our list. Go to veganbodyrevolution.com. Also join our Facebook fan page. Like us. It's right there on the front page of veganbodyrevolution.com, or you can just go to facebook.com/veganbodyrevolution. I hope you enjoyed this show. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of the solution and not the problem. This is Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast.